Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Ryback Show Live. I'm your host, the big guy, Ryback. Happy Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages listening around the world. We are streaming live on Instagram and TikTok, the big guy, Ryback 22. I'm looking to take a see if we are going to get, I don't know what the deal with TikTok is going to be today. The live was suppressed yesterday heavily by damn near 500%. It was, we'll have to wait and see what's going on. IG, thank you to those of you that are tuning into the live broadcast. Those will stop after some point, usually around the hour mark, maybe a little before on that. But swing on over here to Ryback TV on YouTube, where you're the co-host of this show. The ebb and flow of the show goes where your questions goes, ladies and gentlemen. Anything, health, fitness, supplementation, sports, pro wrestling, politics, and anything and everything in between. We are streaming also today on Facebook at Ryback Reeves. And at Twitch at Ryback Rules. This show is available on all podcast platforms, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, anywhere Podbean podcasts are available. The Ryback Show is there. You are more than welcome to listen to the audio version when you're driving in the car, when you don't want to watch YouTube or don't have the YouTube premium to keep it running on that, guys. The Ryback Show. iTunes reviews, greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. The show brought to you by my Feed Me More Nutrition, my premium supplement line sweetened with stevia and monk fruit. No harmful artificial sweeteners or colors. Great tasting, vegan friendly for all people. He, she, and thee on feedmemore.com. We have all your discounts available in the description here. 30% off for new customers. Discount code Ryback30. Returning customers get 20% off. Feed me 20, feed me 20. And we're doing a buy one, get one free right now on the Finish It BCAAs. That's under BCAA BOGO, B-O-G-O, no limit. You want to order 10, you want to order 20, you want to order 2, half of them are going to be free with that discount code. Also got a buy one, get one free on our 2 Sweet Blood Sugar Support Formula. That is just discount code SWEET, SWEET BOGO, SWEET B-O-G-O. That's all in the description in the comments. Guys, we've got all the Ryback merch, the different accessories to drink, wear the workout accessories and gear on their weight belts, and the best supplements on the planet, feedmemore.com. All right. I'm able to actually see. I did a restart on my computer today on my iPad. And as you know, YouTube, we're down right now, but I can at least see how many people are in here as opposed to the other last two episodes. It was, even though you guys were able to see, I was not, which is always really frustrating on that. They are not communicating with me. I tried reaching out to YouTube again with everything going on with my accounts. They are refusing to answer they're just copying and pasting answers. They've stopped all communication. They will not close a prior case of not answering my specific questions. They instead sent it to their legal team and said the case now remains open. And what they've done, this, they found a way. They're obligated to not allow to talk to me because they sent it to legal, because they don't want to answer questions and they don't want to set up a meeting with me in person. Like, I'm as professional as possible on this. Hey, I just want to talk to somebody about my account right now. I don't want to copy and paste answers. I need some specific answers on this. I'm going to have to send this to my attorney. The moment the word attorney was mentioned with it. Boom, we're sending this to legal. We're not answering any more. Like, you guys haven't answered one question to begin with. But they then restricted my account even further. If you guys have seen the drop just from the past week. So this is the game going on. So I don't know if they're going to, like, just try to keep it like this for a while to, like, thinking, like I don't know with it. But this is on all platforms. I'm sick and tired of it. You're sick and tired of it. But we'll try to do the show as best as we can, despite the majority of my viewers and listeners not knowing that the show's even going on. So we will make do with it. And I'll tell you, though, the one thing they can't control, these companies, and they're not figuring in, is I've got my health back. I'm going to get my documentation for my Ryback trademark. You don't think the moment I'm doing something in pro wrestling again that I'm not going to – by the way, I have the connections to the shows I need to go on already. I just want to be back. I want the final FU to everything from WWE and all the miserable marks out there and these corrupt social media companies. You don't think I'm going to have access to a lot of ears and a lot of eyes with this. You are sadly mistaken with this. So it is. And if you think I'm going to let the last 7 years go of dealing with this, you put how many people would have survived this, do you think? I'll tell you how many. I don't think anyone could. Because I've been tested at times. And but like I've said, they can try to take away everything from me, every little thing they have. I don't care if there's one person in here. They will not stop me from doing what I love and from building a brand and making money and living my life. So, and I'm not some terrorist, some criminal. I think I'm one of the most positive people in the world with it. And, you know, I speak my mind with something. I don't put up with any BS, but I think I'm one of the most positive human beings on this planet with this. And I've overcome some of the most negative, horrible things with a smile on my face. So, like, if they think this is going to be any different, they are wrong. And I will come at them for the rest of my life. I will not stop this. I will make this a side mission on my other missions with this for every single one of you, from IG to TikTok, Snapchat, YouTube, Twitch. What's the other one on there? We got Twitter, Elon. Hopefully, I'm still trying to be patient with old Muskie here. But yeah. All right, let's get into the go. Super chats are greatly appreciated, guys. The big guy Starbucks and shoulder massage relief fund, which, by the way, more major progress on the shoulder, on the scar tissue work. That big bulge in my shoulder blade that has been stuck, it was enormous. I've got it down in size so much, but it's the really difficult part on it is starting to chip away. And timing is everything in life. So it is just getting stronger, getting healthier. And this is very, very happy. But I wanted to give a little update on the shoulder. It's just like hours every single day, guys, hours every single day. And I've sacrificed a lot just to be able to get to this point to have this opportunity. So we are going to finish it, I promise. And you're going to see the massive difference in everything when everything is fixed. Because you can just see, you can't have this much subscribers on this content. This is the content that got the subscribers all the way through. And all of a sudden, you guys have seen the drop from just a week. And this is what, like, this may be the new normal. And then they'll drop it another tier and another tier. They'll drop it till five people are in here on a thing. And I will not stop, so. Joseph, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate the kind words. Take a look at your questions here. Mentioning without mentioning names, did bullying take place in your time? Like, what happened in previous eras? I'm asking you honestly. Do you think anyone's bullying me? Just knowing me and my personality, do you think anyone's bullying me? No, with it. And if I ever saw it, I would not tolerate it as well. And it did not exist. I think during my time there, everything was pretty damn peaceful with it. Outside of a couple little Sin Cara scruffles, which I actually like, because Sin Cara is just not afraid to throw down if he thinks, like, because there's some real BS up there. Like, as in with anything with it. I love Sin Cara, though, his mindset. He's a tough little scrappy guy, though. There was no bullying on anything. Not at least not whenever I was around with it. I know I'd heard some things. I've heard stories prior to there and after. And I think in this day and age, it's just not it wouldn't fly. There's just too many things it would get out, and you know what I mean? It wouldn't be tolerated, where in the past with different locker rooms, and you got to remember you're dealing with guys on that were on a large amount of steroids at different eras, and recreational drugs. And again, was I there for any of it? No, I've just heard stories and guys with the pills. And so tempers are more just up and down, I guess you could say, with it, which is why I think that stuff has been taken out essentially for not steroids of like on other promotions outside of WWE, but all the other drugs, you know, aren't being used, at least to my knowledge, by the majority of talent. So, you don't see problems as much because people are much more level-headed and everyone, and again, most guys don't make any money. And if you do make money, it takes a long time to make any decent amount of money. So they're just trying to mind their P's and Q's for the most part to keep making whatever money they're making, right, with it. So, or if they are making good money, they don't want to disrupt that good money and lose it. You see the world we live in. Even if something is, somebody is at, in the right, and if it's made enough noise on social media, we've seen time and time again, big companies typically do not have anyone's backs. They are married to their profits. So if they think that that's going to be disrupted in any way, shape, or form, they just kind of abandon. Hey, maybe down the line, you know. So, but I know people ask routinely too, like the JBL stuff. They ever go to JBL ever? JBL is one of the nicest guys I've met up there. He was always very kind. I talked to him. I didn't talk to him a lot, but like had some conversations with him. But he always had a smile on his face, and he was commentating. He wasn't wrestling, so I will say that is you got to factor that in, because I think talents are completely different. Because one, you're dealing with massive stress and creative, and your character. Two, you're just there. Nothing could really be done to you. You're just announcing the show, having a good time. You don't have to deal with all the political stuff. So. You know, he clearly in his best of moods, older, you know, could have learned from past mistakes, whatnot. But I never once ever saw him and once thought to myself, like, man, that guy's such a threatening, intimidating bully. But now, again, is he a large figure? Yeah, but never. He's just so nice. You don't even. And I could just see, and I've been around him. I was around him during Tough Enough when he was in. That would have been full blown bully mode if that was a thing. Never once did he ever come up to any of us. And me and Peter had to give him a ride back from the hotel once he drank too much. He was a champion. He had the championship with him in his luggage. And if that would have been the time for him to bully somebody though, because he was wasted. Nicest guy in the world. We were two guys. Peter never even, you know, made it in WWE. He left with that. And like, but we hadn't done anything. We're on the show. He hadn't won the show yet. I'm on the show. You know, we would have been the guys to bully around if you were going to, outside large guys, to maybe not the 2-1-2 try to pick a bully, and maybe he knew that, but like from a power standpoint, could have gotten away with it never even once. So, but that's not to say this is one of the things too. People, I think oftentimes a lot of people just want to group somebody, like people are capable of good and bad, and even the worst people on the planet are capable of having good moments, and all the best people in the world are capable of having bad moments. And this is something we see where people try to take one moment, and then that's what they use to just assume about that person all the time. I just think it's foolish and it lacks common sense with it. And it's like, now there's a lot of people, they do a lot more good than a lot bad, but they have some bad moments in there. And then there's some people that look at them, they go, oh, he's the worst person in the world. And others that go, this guy's the greatest guy in the world, because they're just looking, they can see overall. And that's always important. Whenever you're looking at overall, with things, it's, I see it all the time with people that just like, they're just incapable of thinking that way. And it's a scary thing, because that is how you judge people, is essentially, now outside of somebody that does something horrific or whatnot, then it's just, but talking in generalities of everyday life, you know, if somebody says something that you don't necessarily agree with it, you know, that doesn't make them the worst person in the world and this and that. And, you know, I just see it all the time with things with people on it. And it's like the, you know, talk about, it's like the CM Punk stuff. I've seen him do a lot of bad. He's fully capable of doing, I've seen him do good things. That doesn't mean, you know, we've just seen him do a fair share of bad for those of us that know with it. And, but like, it's people like just need to get married to one thing and they'll go to one side of the extreme or the other instead of going, no, I bet you he gets along with some people and there's other people he doesn't get along with. And, you know, like that's what it is. But that conversation takes having a little bit of using a little bit of the thought process and looking at things and critical thinking and common sense. And it's just not there for everyone, unfortunately. What's up? Good to see all of you. Welcome to the Ryback Show. Who do you think, Bill? Good to see you, Bill Wild. Who do you think will win the Brock Omos match? Big guy. I think this could go either way. I've talked about this. I'm excited for it. As I think the video they just talked about, I saw a good part of Raw last night. The video between Brock and Omos did, I think, was it over 10 million views online on social media? And that's where I tell people that I don't care if it's like there's different styles of wrestling. All styles are essential to the success of pro wrestling. The power giant style, but power things with where real strength is involved is always the most related to, because that's the one thing that can't be faked in pro wrestling or be worked in a way. And granted, guys can work with you and things, but like lifting things and throwing things, like it's real as far as that action is a real action with it. And I just think it connects to the masses far more than any other style, which is why I chose it, which is why I play a big part of why my conditioning and all that, to connect and have that energy bell to bell. But that match is intriguing, and they did a great job on the storytelling last night with Brock, the only UFC fighter to have the 4XL gloves. How true that is, I don't know. I remember UFC doing something on it, but even that, Brock is a large human being with that. And to see him with Omos and be outsized, and it's an intriguing match. And when they had Omos shut him down and Brock kind of looked uncomfortable and a little embarrassed, and you know, it was it's been very well done. You know, granted, now Omos has been in these matches. He's been booked exceptionally well for the most part, outside of the problem we've talked about. This is that with him and Braun, or him and Bobby, or him and Braun, and the other guys, and rightfully so. And it's great they came out on top of it, but it's very difficult when you have a character like this. He really could use this win. This is one thing that WWE is really bad at. And I talked about it with myself, and I had a lot of wins. I had losses though at critical times and had to play that role in, like, it just needs to be shifted a little, and it could do a world of good for everyone. I think Omos, if they are truly invested in keeping this guy around at a 7'3" rare, you know, attraction that he is, I think now would be the time to pull the trigger and give him a WrestleMania moment and let Brock go away. Brock will never not be Brock. And they could really, at this point of his career, and this is why I think he's so comfortable, and you're seeing the best version of him on the microphone and just being more comfortable overall and playing and really embracing being that babyface, kick-ass babyface role, is I think he's just at a really good point with everything, and he could focus on the storytelling, and he's made his money, and you know, he's still very protective of his character, but there's more money for him to make now than there ever was if he's just beating everybody, and they're very selective who they want to let him beat, and it's like he's dominating most guys, right? And that was great, and that he's had some unbelievable runs. But with him as being a more, and I just equate it, and this is what I learned from John, and with me, I would much rather be the babyface that they can get heat on and fight from underneath from time to time and construct matches in special ways. And then when I go and have that emotion and intensity and that fire with that. But where you could just work with everybody with that, as opposed to if you're looking at early 2012, this destruction is everywhere, Ryback destroying, and like it's great. But then what happens is then they put you in there with Punk, and then Vince doesn't want you wrestling long because the character's beating everybody really quickly, and now you have to change your style because you can't work the matches you were working with him, and he doesn't want to work with that, and so you have to literally adjust and like sell like you would have, like the Cena sell with that. And like with Brock, I think he realizes, and not to that degree where it's like, if you let guys get more on you and you let your character become a little more vulnerable in selling. And Brock sells, if you ever watch Brock selling, he's a great seller. It's just sometimes the moments are few and far between of how often he gets to really show that. But they've allowed his character to become more vulnerable in the last year or two, I feel. And it's allowing him to now have a roster full of guys to work with, where I think he can let almost, I think he can let almost squash him. And remember, Goldberg squashed him. Goldberg squashed him in that match in 2016 after I'd left. How quickly with that? And right, did it ever hurt Brock? No, he's just so good at everything, and he's so believable because he is the part. It's so close to his personality in who he is in real life, right? So I personally think if Omos can get this and WWE pulls the trigger in a dominating fashion, we're off to the races with Omos, and we could do some more things. And, you know, I just think he needs that big, big moment as opposed to where Brock doesn't. Now, is that going to happen? I don't know. It's very possible Brock squashes him with that and Brock goes away, or Brock continues on and he stays for, like, I don't know. But if you look at their contract sizes, and I don't know if, I think Brock's at the end supposedly, and I don't know if there's a new, I don't know the specifics on that or if he's for another year or two, but he tends to go away for a while at times, right? And he's one of the most invested guys they've ever been in that company, one of the highest paid of all time, if not the, right? I mean, like, he's really figured in there. And so I think this is, it's going to be on what does Brock want to do? And we'll see but Brock, I think, sees what I just talked about with everything. And if he likes Omos, and I don't know what their relationship is and whatnot, you know, it's very possible Brock goes out of his, like, to really want to make him. That wouldn't shock me. Now, if he doesn't like you though, or just is kind of indifferent to you, you know, it's a rough day at the office, and you have to pick up the pieces with your character, you know. And for Omos, if he gets beat by Brock, and he's literally squashing everybody else, right? And in his big matchups against the other big guys, he's getting beat. Granted, I think he's done fantastic. It's just he's 7'3", and he's built like nobody else. So it really, now you're really painting that picture. Like, yeah, this guy is dominating. And are we going to go back to doing this again with him just beating guys on TV until the other big guy comes in? They'll do that like 15 times in a row. Then they'll get me back and I'll lose to Omos. That'll be his big win. I'm kidding, that's not happening. As far as going there, I would like to see him pull it out. Super chat. Thank you to everyone joining the show. Evan, good to see you again, Evan, Amy, Art91. Your favorite shell shock moment that you performed, nothing but love for the big guy. Thank you very much. Man, this is tough. My favorite shell shock moment that you performed. There's two, and that were big moments for my... There's actually, I'll give you the three, because I think they're the three most important to how I was viewed and getting the rub from working with the guys. My three most important shell shocks, I think, or my favorite, or just, I think the one, CM Punk, I beat in a tag match on Raw. I don't know if it was me and Cena versus Dolph and Punk going into that program, but that was, I literally... Shell shock 1-2-3 decisive victory for the Ryback character going into that over Punk, which was massive at that point in time. That was the biggest name that I'd beaten on TV up to that point, right? With months of the squash matches and 1-2-3 locals, and I think we did three, maybe once or twice, but whatever it was, the locals and then the WWE roster, that was really important. I think getting a pinfall victory in the three stages of hell match where I shell shocked Cena and got the 1-2-3. I think that was a defining moment. That's not something you see all the time with him and his character. And I think the other one was prior. I think him the night after WrestleMania shell shocking Cena and then picking up the WWE Championship. That was an image a lot of people. I thought that was a very powerful moment. Crowd was absolutely going apeshit. That was supposed to be the beginning of my heel turn, which could have been the beginning of my real babyface championship run, but it wasn't. That wasn't what the role called for, unfortunately, with all of that. But very powerful moments for how people view me, I think, for a lot of my fans and the people that view me in that very positive higher light is because of working and having big moments with guys like that. Jericho, another one. Those are big. Kane, Big Show, Henry, over and over like that. Big moment with big time names, Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson. So there was, you know, the Shield and having moments on them and like a lot of that. But those are the three that come to mind. All right, take a look at your questions here. Good to see you guys. King Tricks, don't spam. I don't want to have to ask you again. But yeah, Big Show, Shell Shock, all those are huge moments. And the reaction, picking those guys up by far got the loudest reactions. Big Show is probably responsible. I don't know if it was a Miz TV when I came back after when I had a brief staph infection or whatever it was, my knee, when I was the IC champion. And I remember Shell Shocking him on one of those, and it was like an explosive one, and the crowd really, really went crazy. But and I think that would have been if WrestleMania, when I picked up Mark Henry, rather than having me fall on my face, if they would have just let us do the shell shock 1-2-3 and have that defining moment, which we've talked about to no end, but that was what was called for. That would have been the loudest probably by far with that crowd in that moment. But, and they were still good for the one we got after on him there, but it wasn't that initial one, that place, they were ready. And, We took that moment away forever. All right, taking a look at your questions here. Tyler, Sweet Sugar Sugar, good to see you. Yeah, Tyler, I hope the match with Brock and Omos is also goes at least 10 minutes. You don't want to see either get squashed. But yeah, I think it would, you know, hopefully the thing with Omos is he's done that with Braun and Bobby. I thought had very good matches in those and looked good. And just unfortunately, that's what I was saying. It's really difficult. Guys like The Miz can get beat more and it's more believable. Whereas there's a disconnect when there's really guys and just they look the part and people believe in them. It's like you got to be really careful. And they could still lose, but they just got to be really careful, and they know that too, they know it too. But it's just like the guys signed the same contracts, and they just kind of group them in together with everybody, and as this all just interchangeable characters, and it's like if you just put a little warning by their names on everything, where every week you were just there was concern, and there was just. Everyone was aware, like, let's just try to make sure we watch out for this character at different times or don't put them in situations that we would put everybody else in or whatnot, but we'll have to see. Hello, hello. Finding out Cody Rhodes is half Cuban is like finding out Santa Claus isn't real. I'm still shocked. Yeah. Cody, I didn't know his. I don't know what the exact percentage is on how much Cuban his mother, or if she's a full Cuban descent. I don't know. I never had heard that either, but that's very interesting. I will say I did. I watched the promo on Raw, the Cody Roman exchange. And another home run by everybody involved. That was That was very good. This match is, they've done, Cody and Roman have done an outstanding job of painting this picture and in getting, I'm really invested in this match, and it makes you want to see who's going to get pinned and what's going to go forward. And is Cody going to fulfill the story in what he feels he needs to justify his existence, like his importance, you know, with it, or is everything falling apart and Roman's going to be on his own with the whole bloodline and everyone having those championships. And this is the final days, the final weeks before everything finally comes unglued, that Sammy kind of exposed the cracks in the ship. And right. So that's like, for me going into this, it feels like between Cody and Roman, because Sammy was so involved and they've now done, we'll talk about that with him and KO and the Usos. We talked about that was the route that they are going. And I really like with that, but now the attention with Cody and Roman, it seems to be intensifying and it continues to get a little more every week, I feel like. And that's what you want. You want it. You want that temperature rising and getting as close to the boiling point as possible to going into WrestleMania. So where the people are ready to see, they can't picture it going either way. And that is, they're doing another great job. And I've said, getting that attention away from Sammy on that and letting Cody into that role, Cody was in a very difficult spot on that where the crowd in, like with Sammy and Cody had to deliver on a few occasions here. Like if Cody would not have in both Cody and Roman, but if Cody really wouldn't have delivered, like I feel like Cody has delivered and handled the pressure exceptionally well. And where the people are chanting for him at the end of these promos, like he's really, really got them. And because they both have had great lines on each other with all of this and made it more personal with it. But I've not seen Cody. He's cool, calm, and collected. He's just very good now. Thinking and expressing himself and his lines and whether stuff is improv'd in with that but delivering it with a believability and intensity without screaming, but still intense. And he does a very good job with his facial expressions. And you really, truly, genuinely believe his words, right? Because it's so close to home with everything on that. And that's when pro wrestling's at its best. And he's always been good at doing that, incorporating that personal side of things into different storylines. And I'm excited for him. I'm excited for both of them. I think they're going to do something really, really cool, special. I don't know what direction it could go. Like neither one would shock me with it. And neither one would shock me. So it's that's fun to be able to watch that, knowing as much as you know and not going, man, I really don't know what direction, not being there and not know the finish or anything. So I get to watch it just as a fan, essentially, and I'm looking forward to it. James asks, do I have a foot fetish? James, I actually don't. Not one that I'm aware of. I've never I keep my toenails trimmed. I've never done any work on my feet. I've got just very normal looking feet, size 14. But nothing, I don't have like any abnormalities, no hairy feet, just regular, I guess, big guy feet with that. And I've never once in any of my years of being with a woman and just like, oh God, let me see those feet. Like not once. I think outside of maybe a foot massage or something, but I've never even then had paid attention to details. Outside of, if a foot was like, don't get me wrong, if she had like really messed up feet, I would notice that. But I don't let that, like, if she didn't take care of her feet, that would have been a concern. But like the feet were normal women feet. So, I've never just like, hey, Barbara, pull those feet out. Like, good to see all of you guys. We're going to go ahead and throw a shell shock. in there. I need to get a voiceover on here. Man, I miss Fabrice. This is one I would have had him. I wanted to get just, I wanted to get sound bites made with Meat Hook and then Shell Shock and finish it. Like where I could just have, cause I have my little board here that I could, where I could just boom, boom. And I'll maybe look and see if I can get that and like Shell Shock. And it's just a big bomb explosion. Where it's just, you know, I don't even have to say it. I just go knock, knock, boom, Shell Shock. I think that will add to the show, having some of the sound effects. Hello, hello. I do think concerning Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, I like where that's going. I told you that weeks ago, I thought that would be based off everything, the way they were going, or one of the ways they could go, which was obvious. And them and the Usos are going to absolutely, they are going to, as Sheamus would say, have a banger at WrestleMania. They're doing Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre. That's another banger. Like, this card is stacked up, man. You got Seth, Logan Paul with it. Like, I've told you guys, they've really, some really cool things. Interested to see what's going on with the Bray Wyatt, Bobby Lashley. You know, is it going to be one of those situations where there's something going on with Bray and Bobby doesn't have an opponent, and it's going to be like, Jesus, we're going to have to bring Ryback back to squash him. Not happening. I'm really curious to see what they do with Bray though, with that, and what's going to happen. Is Uncle Howdy, is there going to be a reveal? Like, where how's that going to go moving forward? So, I've heard rumors of possibly Stone Cold Steve Austin and how the hell have I? What's his name? Nick? Is it not Nick Aldis? How the hell have I already? He'll come to me in a second. LA Knight, sorry. LA Knight. Is LA Knight going to have a moment with Stone Cold? I think that would be really cool. I don't even need to see a match. I would like LA Knight to have a good little promo segment, get as much heat as possible, let that glass break, let him take a stunner, and let him, I think, for him moving forward, and if they do stuff, I think that's a really, those segments like that, they help. Because you're getting the time to talk now. If they don't give you that opportunity and you kind of don't get to do anything and you're just taking a stunner, granted, better than doing nothing, but you want, if you're getting the opportunity to go talk for 5 minutes at WrestleMania, that's a big stage to get a big promo on. And that's, and I think he would fully capitalize and take advantage of that. And the, or even that they have a back and forth and have let them have a promo segment back together with that interaction. I would be, I'm all for that, and eat a stunner or two after. I think that's not a bad spot to be in for the night. I'm excited. My opinions on Solo is that I'm excited to see. He's very early on into his career, but he's around some of the best, and he's getting good advice, and he has the Usos and Roman there and being involved with them in TV, and they're going to make sure that he's well-versed on different things that go on, and as opposed to somebody who's coming up on their own and doesn't really, you know, it's important, that kind of stuff, to have some people you're close to that get it. And you know, those guys, that's why in the Usos and Roman, you know, they're coming from Rikishi and being so heavily involved in the business for so many years, being such a big part of it. You know, they know a lot of stuff that a lot of us getting into it, that we might have to learn through experiences, or they're coming in with a head start on kind of a backstage deal too on different things, because they came from, their family's been involved in it for so long, right? You can't get that kind of experience or education by not being involved in it and just being a fan and whatnot. So I think Solo's around the right people, and he, as long as he continues to work hard and can stay healthy, and I think he's going to be a big, big part of the WWE roster for the foreseeable future, past probably what the Usos and Roman's time, right, will be. And I don't know how the age difference between them, but I would imagine that he, if he can continue on that past them, and he's being primed up and getting a great education and learning experience right now, just being out there, even if he's not, even though he's involved in a lot and he's working, he's doing fantastic. But I and he's believable. He's just going to keep getting better, and he'll get more and more opportunities. And I think very high potential for him. And it's going to be character development. And we saw that last night with him and Roman. There was that moment. I loved it. I think I love, and then putting the focus on him a little more at a very crucial time going into WrestleMania. And, you know, those guys all, man, they're nothing but great things to say about all of them. They all get it. And they're all fun to work with. They're all easy to work with. And like I said, they've got it together. Hello, hello. Good to see all of you. Yeah, WrestleMania can't go to Hollywood without a Rock appearance. Yeah, I can see, you know, that's tough with everything with him. And if they're trying to distance the Roman stuff, you know, I don't know. You know, and I don't know how much this hurts Cody. And just to say, I think it does hurt if you have Cody going over, but, you know, would it be something else if they were able to cut some sort of agreement with Rock for next year, and he came out and Rock bottomed Roman and something, and it led somehow to Cody getting a victory over Roman Reigns, you know, to set up for a potential down the line, if they have something set in stone with Roman and Rock for that final, which wouldn't need the title, which would just be fighting for his legacy and the top spot in the family, so to speak. Does that need the championship? No. Maybe that's a match better suited not for the championship, depending on, you know, everything. But that you never know. You never know with what they'll do at WrestleMania, but I think that's a long shot happening. But who knows what they have in store. They if they're going to deliver on stuff, they like to – I mean, WrestleMania is the time where they pull out all the stops and try to have some real genuine surprises. That would be something that would probably be well kept under wraps if it too, as they've done, you know, the Hardys like that hugely, they've done some great things with keeping things quiet. I agree. LA Knight, I think, has a very, very bright future. And he's doing, I enjoy watching. It's addicting. That, yeah, I love things that get over that yeah is it's just, it's finding it. It's just a word. It's a very simple word, but it's said a certain way and it's catchy. And those are the things that can, you know, can get you really, really over. And he doesn't even have to do it all the time. I know he likes to do it. He'll learn that as he goes, when and where to do it, but it's gotten over. And with that, and he's a very good talker. Yeah, you never know, though. We never know what they'll do with WrestleMania. Hello, good to see all of you. Welcome to the Ryback Show. Super chats are greatly appreciated in here and help me get them on the screen. Do I believe in the big bag? What's the big bag? I have a clip, Eddie, on what do I think about John Cena versus Austin Theory at WrestleMania. There's a clip with them on the Ryback TV here. If you just scroll on videos, the clip, you should see a picture of Theory and Cena on there. Hello, hello. Looking at your questions here right now, guys. Ryback bully backstage. Yeah, the bullying stuff was a lot of fun. No, I do not just bully people for fun. Mango says he'd be a good jobber in TNA. Thank you, Mango. I hear they may use Big E if Austin is a no-go. You know, that's well, there you go. I haven't heard that. I don't know what the situation on Big E is. But that'd be a hell of a way to get Big E on TV. And I think it would get an enormous reaction if LA Knight is out there cutting a promo and we get the return of Big E and he just comes out and hits his finish, hits a big ending, and Big E is back. You want to talk about that will be a hell of a pop with that, with in a reaction for with everything and his neck injury being known. And that alone will, you know, you do that and then you do the promo segment on Raw or SmackDown. He's back, right? With that, that's really get the massive reaction at WrestleMania, have that cool moment. And then the talking on one of the TVs. And capitalize on that return and hopefully getting a spike in the ratings a bit there on that if it's done or advertised properly. So I didn't know what the situation on Big E, but if that is possibly one of the things being discussed, that would be a hell of a spot to come back after almost a year, right, with it. And Big E's a great guy. He's I like Big E a lot. We've wrestled quite a bit and he's I'm beyond happy for the success he's had, and that hopefully overcoming that neck injury is, and if he's able to continue his career, and which hopefully he can, and he's still, you know, he's 30s, late 30s, I don't know, 37, 38 range, you know, has a lot of good years left if everything's all secure and ready to go. Tyler, hold on there. Yeah, Evan, that, you know, that's not a bad idea. In WrestleMania, they've done it before. And was it in what Mania was it? Was it in the New Orleans one where they did? I think it was where they did Austin, Rock, and Hogan. You know, that wouldn't, man, I wouldn't be opposed to another segment with those three again in Hollywood. But you know, that's a tough it's tough to have Rock there and not do something with Roman. And granted, they always could double up on it, you know what I mean? But and they've already done it at in New Orleans, so it wouldn't be a bad thing. Miss V telling Tyler you're adorable. This isn't Christian Mingle in here, guys. Take it easy in this chat. This is the Ryback Show, you know, but you guys are more than welcome to communicate on Christian Mingle. I'm sure Tyler's a regular member. Thoughts on your squash on Benny Kamer, best meat hook? Oh yeah, that was the match. Were we in West Virginia? Where were we? Or Richmond? Or somewhere? It was back east, back there. It was one of those. It wasn't. I don't think it was Norfolk. I'd have to look early that year, 2012. But that was one of the early squashes. I'll tell you, Bill DeMott was Bill DeMott, who was my trainer in Deep South Wrestling. Was my producer for one. That was my only time. I think Bill DeMott was my producer because Bill, I think, went back to NXT right shortly after my debut, and then eventually was unfortunately with everything happening things and released from the company. But he the directions were very clear that night, and Benny was around me all day, but this was making a statement And Bill is very good at getting me fired up because he's been with me from my very beginning days in WWE from Tough Enough. And he put me through the ringer, and his whole attitude with me, he treated me like a professional, and with respect, and for me, that was huge it was rough in Deep South Wrestling, but I always felt out of a love in toughness, instilling a toughness mentally and even physically more so. And I didn't agree with everything, but I don't have to with it, but it ended up really, really helping me in learning intensity and believability and, with everything. But being on the receiving end of some really tough days, a lot of tough days on that, and breaking into the business with that. And then Bill, once I'd overcome my injury and had made it, and it was an entirely different thing. And he was very positive with me, which was something I always wanted more of from him. And unfortunately a lot was negative. And it's fine. But there would be moments where I knew, and I always respected it at the end of the day. But he was very positive, and he gave me, my confidence was already really high. It was very high in overcoming that ankle injury and everything and all the BS and having a chip on my shoulder and everything going on behind the scenes with WWE. There was a lot of anger inside of me, boiling with that. And Bill knew how to get that out of me and essentially just remind me of everything that I went through with him and everybody and getting fired and my ankle injury. And this guy out here who's an extra talent, who is there to get me over, he was fully aware this is going to be fast paced tonight. He was completely fine. And we were backstage, and I mean, but he got hit full speed on that. And he knew it was bam, bam, pick him up, bam, that. And we're going to go get over, and we're going to get over wrestling guys nobody's ever seen before. But that was the stuff going on into this is what you've waited for. They go get over. You're going to have some time to go get over. And it was, this is Bill, these guys, you got to remember Bill was around work Goldberg's first match. Bill knew how Bill and these guys know to get over. And you guys think it's always go having quote unquote five-star matches. It's believability, and it's going out there, and it's having a confidence, and you got to have something in you where you go, you're not getting anything tonight. I'm taking this entire thing. I'm the fucking star. That without being that, but you have to be able to go do that. Like sometimes a lot of guys have a difficulty. Oh, we'll go back and forth. It's no. And this is why it's good when your company looks out for you too. And they can know you got to go get over tonight. And it's your role is unfortunately going to be not a lot tonight. But oftentimes you have too many guys that the role has to be defined. It has to be defined from the promoter and the company and the writers. You have to know, but you have to then have it in you to go out there and go get over and to go. And you can't be, you got it in Jericho. You've heard him. You got to have a little bit of an asshole in you. And it's not really being an asshole, but it's like, you got to know what the job is and what you need to go do. And if guys, I tell you, this is Vince, if you don't know how to do that, you'll get buried. It could like really hurt you. So you have to know to go and take things at the right time. And it's a give and take relationship and business. And those roles can always be reversed and with it. But that was Benny fully understood what his role was that night. And he, man, nothing but love for him. Because that was a very important moment for me, being brand new and getting people's attention. People from that match forward that watched that, they were paying attention. And it was because of that, just clothesline, shell shock. That was all that was needed. There wasn't a need for 15 minutes back and forth and meat hook shell shock at the end. Meat hook shell shock, we're off and running. And Bill DeMott was there to fueling that. And I loved every second of it. And two, that was like me with Bill and everything I'd been through. And like, I'll show you how to go get over. I'm going to go get over. Like that was a really, really big defining moment, I felt like. And Benny was absolutely incredible. Incredible in the role of defeat. Do I like Mike Tyson? Absolutely. I love Mike Tyson. Man, one of my favorite just boxers. And growing up, man, watching his fights as a kid at the pay-per-view and seeing all the adults get together. And it was, man, it was a thing. It was the Tyson night. It was a spectacle. And then hearing him, and just I've always been impressed with his ability and his just knowledge of things and life experience. That man made a lot of money and lost everything and bounced back. Like, that is, it's not easy to do. And he is, and man, just, he's, everything I see of it, if I see a Tyson thing pop up, I typically will stop and watch it. He's just such an interesting individual to me on so many different levels. And we're going to shell shock you out of here. No spamming. Thoughts on Ridge Holland getting death threats over the Big E injury? Let's pop that up there. That'll give me a good little deal to see later. I think, and did we touch on this the other day? It's ridiculous. You know, things and injuries happen all the time in wrestling. That's a horrible thing to have happen. I talked about that before, and that to move the overhead belly to belly back like that. You need the other guy. You have to, it's up to, it's two people to do that move with that. And, but Big E is a very heavy, large, thick individual. And even if that was in the ring, that probably was going to result bad just because the size and, just a horrible thing to watch and see, and you never want to see anything like that. Nobody feels worse than Ridge Holland on that. And, you know, and Big E forgave him, and they had whatever they had, and I'm sure they're in communication. And as people are when things, people, if someone gets injured and, you know, but that's, it's nobody else's business, but there are those two in that sense of, and I understand we got people that love Big E and care, but that is not what you do. That does not serve you. That, man, take some balls. You're putting death threats online and things and get people. You never know. Someone might come knocking on that door, and you might get pulled in for questioning, and really, really, really ruin your life. So, you know, you don't want to be putting that stuff out there, putting that energy out there. And I tell you, with wrestlers, and you guys, this is why I speak on this. There's so many good, great fans and respecting, loving fans. You always want to try to keep the attention on that. And unfortunately, that with social media and you just see this hate and negativity, and it can be so personal at times. I just don't understand the lack of respect for human beings and for talent that your characters and. Like watching, I loved everybody. Even if the guys weren't my favorite, I liked everybody. I didn't actually really hate anybody. I understood I was watching guys' characters, and I understand we might have more access to people now and things, but like, I don't know. Just to get, like, be so hateful and to the people and things, and I'll never understand it. But his best thing, and this is all of us and what I do in different times, is just living in the real world as much as possible. And like trying to focus on the good, it's just tough. And when you want to interact with people so people can understand it, because I could tell you, because I deal with it, and you just want to just interact with good, but you got to see hateful things. It can be annoying, and it just you block it. I just block and move on. But and you can see it where talent and people, everyone's going to get triggered on something at some point, and you respond back on it, because it's like you hit a chord, and everyone's human, and like I just. But for Ridge, just living in the real world and wrestling and interacting with good fans and trying to minimize the amount of time that you're on social media while that stuff's going on. And it's unfortunate it's still going on with it. And he'll go on for the rest of his career. It's like the people, like the CM Punk table spot. That is a complete lie. And table broke and landed on padding. In a lot of people's eyes, table never broke. He landed on concrete. And they believe the whole fake scenario that he put out there. Like, but there'll be a portion that will forever hold on to that, no matter what I've done or done, doesn't matter with it. But with Ridge, it's with the guy and with a broken neck. that they don't know if he's going to wrestle again or not. And so people are giving him death threats. He is just going to have, he's going to have it for the rest of his career. No matter what, he could be a 20-time WWE champion. There's going to be those hateful, negative people that don't like him, that will never forgive him or think that it's their business to be, to put that on him and whatnot. And so it just is his, the best thing he could do is to just keep personally developing and dealing with it is as good as possible. And not letting that become the focal point and trying to just focus on the good that's going on and whatnot. You know, it's like Seth, Sting's neck, right? Did he break Sting's neck on the deal? Samoa Joe ended Tyson Kidd's career. Things happen. There's been some horrible things involved with that. And it's, you know, and this is just one of those deals. It was just a move that didn't go as it should have with two really big guys. They're out there, they're wrestling, they're sweaty. Big E, not a move he takes all the time, probably. Overhead he gives him, but he doesn't necessarily take him all the time. And it just was a freak accident, and things happen, man. So, but as fans, I don't understand the holding on to that and letting that, because it's just, you're just letting have that hate in your life and living with it every day. It's something that doesn't even involve you. You know what I mean? It's just not a way I understand in living. I just don't get it, but. I know I saw a thing too with like Rhea Ripley and the, like, and I thought that I've talked about this on the show. I wouldn't be opposed to WWE publicly issuing a statement where talent are no longer allowed to sign outside of paid events or WWE events. I would, but not necessarily. And I don't think this will ever happen because I don't want, think they want people. They may not want to look like the bad guys, even though it's not like really a real thing, but letting the, some sort of thing. So the talent have an out of not having to be people following them everywhere, because I saw Rhea, and I guess it's intensified from what I was seeing, that fans are stalking the wrestlers. And this has always existed. This is why I didn't like staying at TV hotels. They would pay for them at times when you do media. And I always hated staying there though, because all the fans would know where the TV hotels were ahead of time, as opposed to if I just hotwire a hotel 15, 20 minutes away or 30 minutes away, nobody knows you're there. And that was, to me, peace. That's why I did that, was for that, so that you could just relax. You don't have people taking pictures of you. You're tired after driving. You don't want to take 30 photos in the hotel room. You want to go get it. You want to go shower. You want to unpack your bags. You want to go, you want to eat, you want to go to sleep. Like it's, you know, but now people are doing it because look at the economy, look at everything going on. So I go, that's why things have intensified. People don't have money and they're trying to make money any way possible. And they're doing it on the eBay sellers and all these. They're probably becoming much more stalkerish and meaner with the talent. And when talent are telling them no, they're looking at it as like their food for the night. You know what I mean? Or for the week or whatever they're selling these things for. But you got to stop that. But I wish there was, that's why, like, there's, when you're at the WWE events, like the WrestleMania week, nightmare for talent with the hotels most apart, because what happens is, even though the hotel will keep fans from usually being inside and that they can gather outside, they'll be all around the area. And so anywhere you go in that vicinity of WrestleMania week, you're going to have people recording you and watching your every move. And it's not very peaceful, as opposed, I would do this. Like, I would always get a rental car during WrestleMania week, get my car and drive out 30, 40 minutes, an hour sometimes, find food, I'd have stuff at the hotel, get my workout in a way, nowhere near where that everything, the inner workings of everything, because you could stay on track and stay focused and you don't get too sidetracked with things. And then here and there, you'll have your thing, you do that, but it's not masses of people with it. So but it would be nice if WWE put out something where talent is no longer able to sign, but then really not enforce it if talent do want to do it. I don't know how you go about doing that, but it is one of the difficulties of that comes along with everything. It's funny. I just saw the Theo Vaughn. They were talking about Hasbulla. He was here for the UFC fights this past week, and they were talking about the guy, one of the guys on the show, felt horrible for him because he goes, he walks anywhere he goes, he gets mobbed by people for pictures. And he goes, people just pick him up because I think they think he's I don't know if he's like 20 or 30 something years old. you just imagine? He's a tiny little guy. I lost it when I saw the video. Theo is like, yeah, I think it messes up their inner workings. Theo saying some random Theo thing that was absolute gold. But like Hezbollah, just like the poor little guy, just like can't go anywhere without getting mobbed. And like people want pictures. So he's so tiny, though. Most people probably aren't considered enough to like that. They just grab him and pick him up. It's just, I've laughed so, it was one of the hardest I've laughed just when I watched it like three times. And they just have a funny picture of Hezbollah. And he just has that face. And you just imagine, though, just everywhere you go, just people just picking you up and you don't want to be picked up. You're like, I'm a grown man, bitch. Put me down. Man. They accidentally posted Bald by Choice. Hello. Sign a damn box. Stop being ungrateful. That's not being ungrateful with that. That's you guys being ungrateful and stalkerish. And it's not good, man. Not good. You don't, and it's not our job to go let you go make money off our name and image for us. So you can, cause you don't want to get a job or don't want to work a regular thing. That's on you, man. With it. Meet great people all day long. But any of you that think it's a wrestler's responsibility to pay your bills because you're a fan or this and that, man, you are sadly mistaken. Love you too. Thank you very much. Good to see all of you. Yeah, Evan, even the numbers are still down on it. And I don't know what is... You could just see it on the numbers on the show. And it's you can see it on my feeding time videos. Everything is just drastically down. And they've dropped my RPM as well. And that's what I get per 1,000 views. They have it's so low that, why is that still popping up? Give me one second. There we go. Let me scroll up. I missed a few super chats they're saying. Big Boy says, what happened in your match with Tenzai lifting him? There's videos on that on the podcast, on this, the archives. That was just a fluke deal that it was my fault. I know some people want to say he sandbagged me or this or that. It was, I've lifted him. I lifted him the week prior and I lifted him like the 2 weeks after it because we made sure everyone knew that was never an issue getting him up, but I was very sick that night too. And at the end of the day, I just couldn't get him up. I hooked him high on my own finish because I normally was throwing guys over my head too. He was one of the guys early on. I ended up picking everybody up like that, but I hadn't done that a lot yet. He might've been the first one in the week prior we did it. And I just made sure I understood, but for whatever reason, and like I told you, I wasn't feeling great, but still, I was still strong enough to get him up. If I would have hooked him properly, if I would have just been a little more in his waistline and not higher up on him, we would have been able to just go up despite my physical condition for that day. So 1,000% on me. Just happened. You ever see Brock went to go pick up Big Show once and fell back completely? It happens. Whether you're dealing with huge bodies, a lot of weight on it, and it never happened to me ever again. I learned my lesson on that. And I was very happy it happened for the sake of, I never once freaked out. And I love that I'm able to stay my under composure and I'm just so comfortable. And like where it was boom, call audible, but me hook, I took control on it. And that it was my deal. And there were no hiccups. There was no like, oh my God, what do I do next with it? And, you know, I went once and tried it a second time. And it was just, I look every time and I go, I just could tell on where I got my shoulders going into him. I go, that was, cause I could pick anybody up from that position on that in wrestling. I'm more than strong enough. It was just it's not a regular type lift of, it's like a good morning in a squat all combined. And when the guys wait, you've got to be as centered on them as possible. So when you go up to that, when you're getting up that, there's a point where it gets easy when their body starts straightening, leveling, becomes horizontal on that. And I kind of went up and you could see he still wasn't I wasn't able to get him horizontal because of how I hooked him. Even if you don't jump, a lot of the other big guys couldn't jump. Their knees were bad or different things. And it wasn't an issue. Granted, is it more effort picking them up than smaller guys? Yeah, but it was a thing that happened. Cat Snakes on a Plane says, never saw you wrestle, but love the podcast. Thank you very much, buddy. I love doing these. I have a great time doing them, and I appreciate all the love and support from you guys. Let's see. Evan, I hope you have a good time at that event. Zachary, Super Chat, do you think that the Authority will ever return? I don't know what's going to happen with anything moving forward on that. And I'm curious to see if WWE does sell the company and who the people are left in the positions of power. We will see. I will say SmackDown's going to be here Friday in Las Vegas as well. I saw that. I mentioned that the other day. I saw they had another commercial on during the show last night. But with that, guys, I know those are the words some of you don't like to hear when you know. And with that, guys, that's usually a sign that I'm wrapping things up. And we're gonna call it a show for today. I appreciate all the love and support as always. And hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day. Update to everything I just heard from Fabrice's son. And everything with the final viewing and a very difficult day for his kids. And just hearing they're keeping me up to date. And they will be in possession of, I believe, his ashes very shortly. So everything with him, it's a wrap. It's been 1 week to the day. I got that horrible news. So, like I said, he will be forever missed and just never replaced. Always remembered. And I'm hoping to get a photo of him so I can make a nice little thing for him here at my house. And I'll put it in here. I won't keep it on camera because he doesn't want people to see his image. But I'm hoping his son is able to get a photo of him at some point and send it over to me and with all of that. So that's all wrapped up and done. But other than that, guys, let's have a good one. Feed Me More Nutrition, feedmemore.com. We've got all the merch on there. I've got all the discount codes available on all podcast platforms. iTunes reviews greatly help, guys, if you've got a moment to swing over there. And it helps out with the audio numbers as well. Just hit play for like a minute. Get those audio numbers up even further with that. All right, let's have a good one. And until next time, my friends, stay hungry. Feed me more.
Hey, Rybackers, don't forget to hit that like button, smash that subscribe, and shell shock those notifications for the best supplements on the planet with Feed Me More Nutrition and all the latest cool new Ryback merch. Visit feedmemore.com.